I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We cannot have innocent people at risk, police officers getting ambushed and attacked, and seniors locked in their homes from the time the sun goes down until the sun comes up. Joe Biden and the radical left are attacking every single rung of the ladder that helped me climb. And that's why I'm announcing today that I'm running for president of the United States of America.
Well, of course, that happened a couple of days ago, but I wanted you to hear again because it sets up what I want you to hear from the ladies of The View and their political denouncement of Senator Tim Scott because he's a black man. Well, actually, because he's a black Republican. And, of course, today DeSantis announcing he's in the race as well. All expected. Oh, I'm sorry. I like DeSantis, but there's no big breakthrough in numbers. We'll see how it plays out. Right now, Trump is by far the leader. Scott barely registers, if at all. But this is still early. Again, thank you for joining us. This is May 24, 2023. And, of course, we have our 6 o'clock program for you. I remind you that at noon, we do a 2-hour live stream Rumble. So if you want to catch the Rumble, you can go to rumble.com, enter Larry Connors USA, or our other platform, of course, News Talk STL. And you can pull up the Rumble, watch us live, or pull it up later and watch it. I see a lot of you do that. I understand you got other things going on in your life at this point. I also know many of you at work right now, and you've got us open up on Rumble and kind of stealing a glance at it occasionally, but you've got your earbud in and you're listening. I know that. We appreciate however and whenever you listen. And remember, every program is also put up as a podcast later when we finish at Larry Connors USA. All right, so there was Tim Scott announcing the other day, and DeSantis announcing that he's now running. None of this is a surprise on many hands. The issue with Tim Scott, though, again, is that he is already under vicious attack and almost in a way more than DeSantis and for one of the most filthy, shameful reasons, because this is a black man who is running as a Republican, and for some reason, this is where the left absolutely loses it. They're all fine about attacking a white man or white woman, or even Nikki Haley of Indian descent. They're all fine about that, but they're going to attack them. But, I mean, Tim Scott, both barrels leveled at this guy. Their attitude is, again, they're not saying it directly, not what you're going to hear in a moment, but they look at him as an Uncle Tom. He's subservient to the master, just kind of moving around. And, of course, if he teams up with Donald Trump, who is by far the leader in the Republican primary, there will be, quote, hell to pay, because Democrats will find everything they can. And if the same tactics that they're going to probably employ and they're already looking to do and to denounce Tim Scott simply because he's black, if that had been employed against Barack Obama, I would have stood up and said, that's not right. It's not fair. This is America. Everybody has a chance. And Senator Tim Scott the other day saying, Joe Biden and the progressive left are ripping away every rung of the ladder that I used to climb to where I am. And yet you've got ladies on The View that want to tell you and tell Tim Scott, Scott, you can't run if you don't talk about the real life of a black America. They're all suffering. No, they're not all suffering. Are there some? Yes. Are there a lot of white suffering? Yes. Are there others of various colors suffering? Yes. We're all suffering right now because of the Joe Biden economic plan that exists only to tax and take away your gas card, your gas stove, whatever else they could do to go green and make you worship at the green altar. I want to take another clip of Tim Scott when he made a remark the other day. And then I want you to hear from a couple of the ladies of The View. One would be, of course, Whoopi Goldberg. So here's Scott with The View kind of reacting.
Today's kids are growing up immersed in a culture where everyone's a victim. We have to start teaching the necessity of individual responsibility. If you are able-bodied, you work. If you take out a loan, you pay it back. If you commit a violent crime, you go to jail. Can I get an amen?
You know, Tim, we should show this ad to your party. Especially if you're going to talk about personal responsibility. Yeah. I mean, you know, all of the talk about a victim. I won the election. I won. Come on now. This might have been a little much this year, you know.
So I've always loved Tim Scott. When he was in the House, he was the first black Republican senator in the Senate, which I think is great.
No, that's not right. Let's stop it right there. She's wrong. He is the first black Republican in the Senate to run for president. But it would help if they'd get some of those facts straight. Tim Scott is not the first black Republican in Congress or in the Senate. And I want to take you back to, and I would have thought they would have paid attention during Black History Month because they made a big deal out of it, the swearing in of Hiram Rhodes Revels, who was the first African-American senator. He was from Mississippi. He took the oath of office February 1870. He was the first black senator. He started serving in the U.S. Congress just 22 days earlier, and then on February 3rd, 15th Amendment to the Constitution ratified, which was prohibiting states from disenfranchising voters on account of race, color, or previous condition or servitude. Revels was indeed the 15th Amendment in flesh and blood, as one of his contemporaries described him. So they're wrong about their facts to begin with. But do not let the facts get in the way of them sharpening their knives and preparing their narrative, because I know many of you don't pay attention to The View. Unfortunately, there are parts of our nation that do, and then they feed on rumor mills and they kind of repeat it and echo it, and they're echoing in many times falsehoods, lies, misunderstandings, but it's all done with a vile intent, especially when it comes to any black American that wants to think for themselves, say, I went to the Democrat Party, I voted for it repeatedly, and what have they done for me? Do you remember Donald Trump when he was running and talking to the black voters? He said, what have you got to lose? The Democrats have been controlling you and running you all this time, and where have you gotten? They come around on election day to pick you up and get you to the polls or harvest your ballots, and then they disappear until the election day shows up again. And he was absolutely right. And Trump numbers in black voters went up. Hispanic voters went up considerably. And the Democrats had to admit, we may have a problem here. No kidding. And it shouldn't be looked at as race, but that's what they want to do. It's supposed to be looking at Americans who are thinking for themselves. You may not like what someone thinks, but it's their opinion. And they should be entitled, they shouldn't be denounced simply because of the color of their skin. They shouldn't be denounced because of their thoughts. They shouldn't be denounced because of their ambitions. And yet, you will hear those on the left cry victimhood repeatedly, right? Correctly saying, I'm a victim, I haven't had the opportunity, I want reparations like they're going to give in California, which would blow their budget. They can't even afford the budget they've got in front of them. And they want to give additional monies out, and they come up with some kind of idea that they had to admit, no, we didn't really look at the numbers. We just kind of drew upon an analysis of what we thought should happen. They're all victims. Now, listen to how the ladies of The View say that, Tim Scott, you got to admit, you can't stand up there and say you got there without saying, I'm a victim. Yes, he can.
He's talking about victimhood and personal responsibility as if people aren't taking responsibility for their own actions. And it just seems to me that the Republican Party has a real racism problem. Black people make up 2% of registered Republicans. So it's a very tiny fraction. I don't know that the overwhelming base would vote for someone like Tim Scott.
I think it's really important. If he had come out and he had said, you know what? Here's what has been happening, and here's how I'm going to change it.
Yeah.
Instead, for me, he came out and did that dog whistle, victimhood. As soon as you say that, you know what he's talking about. I didn't like that.
I didn't like it.
You know, I don't like the idea that he's got this idea that people don't take responsibility for what they do.
Well, I think we've seen the facts that they don't. The party that called for defunding police, which is what Tim Scott's already addressed, and you get arrested, well, you can't arrest me. I've had a rough life in my past. Well, a lot of people have. There are people that need help, yes. But they want to tell him, you got to come out, you got to be almost slovenly and home. I'm so poor and things are rough. You got to elect me because he's not going to do that. And these women, and particularly Whoopi Goldberg and Sonny Hostin, he's one of the other women on there, and they're going to claim that you should feel guilt because of white privilege and you need to stand up for blacks that are less support. Do you know, have any idea how many millions of dollars those two women make for The View? I don't see any victimhood with them. Do you? Of course not. All they do is they're the ones who blow the dog whistle. They're the ones who want to call out victimhood while they're sitting in their nice cushy chair, go home to their nice little palace, make all tons of money, associate with all the big Hollywood stars. Coming up, a story that will break your heart. You will have a hard time listening to it, but I encourage you to lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Sadly, on July 27th, 2022, I received the worst news that a parent doesn't want to hear, that my newly 20-year-old daughter, Kayla Hamilton, was murdered in her own room and left on the floor like trash. She left behind a mother who loved her, a stepfather, a brother, a younger sister, grandparents, and lots of aunts, uncles, and cousins. At first, we knew very little details of the murder until an arrest was made. The details we learned broke us. At the end of March of 2022, Kayla's murderer was apprehended by Border Patrol crossing illegally into the U.S. at the southwest border in Rio Grande City, Texas. I am not sure if he was vetted or not, but he was a 16-year-old known gang member affiliated with MS-13 in El Salvador. The MS-13 motto is kill, rape, and control. He entered the country as an unoccupied alien child.
How many have we seen come into this country as an unoccupied alien child, and they were carrying maybe a number in their pocket if they couldn't speak either English or speak at all? And the standing order from Border Patrol by the Department of Homeland Security was, call the number, see if anyone there is expecting them, and send them to that person. He told them he had an aunt, so they sent him to the aunt. But he was not vetted. It wouldn't have taken much effort to find out what was behind the story with the guy, but they didn't. But you're listening then in testimony to 20-year-old Kayla's mother. You can call her one now, one of the angel moms. That's what they're calling many of those who lost their children due to illegals in this country. Tammy Nobles is the mother's name. Kayla was autistic, and yet she wanted to kind of be on her own. So she was doing what she could to earn money and get a place to live. And she was actually found out that this trailer home was taking in anybody. I mean, an actual one trailer home, renting out bedrooms if you wanted to try it. And this MS-13 member had left his aunt's house and was now living there. Again, back to the tragic story as described by Tammy Nobles, Kayla's mother.
Kayla had two jobs. She was working at a cleaning company and at a grocery store. Kayla had autism, but she was determined to live independently and make her way in this world. And my baby paid the ultimate price. She had just gotten home from work, working the night shift, and said goodbye to her boyfriend that morning when he left for work. She then went to sleep. The murderer went into Kayla's room, strangling her, grabbed her iPod charger, and wrapped it around her throat and face while strangling her to death. Kayla grabbed her phone and called her boyfriend, but went to voicemail. The voicemail of the murderer strangling her was 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. The murderer then violently sexually assaulted Kayla. Kayla's boyfriend came home from work and found her dead on the floor. The charger cord was so tight around her neck and face that her boyfriend had to use his teeth to get it off. The murderer robbed her of her phone and $6. $6 is all my baby had in cash because she used the snack machines at work to get something to eat. He then went to lunch with his half-brother like nothing happened.
Like nothing happened. Using the $6 Kayla had put aside so she would have something to eat. The MS-13 member was arrested. And when they checked his DNA against what they found at the scene, he is the killer. But of course, he's still to face trial. But DNA says he's the guy. So he's charged with first-degree murder, rape, and robbery, currently being held without bail. But the issue, once he was arrested, if you weren't already shocked and upset over the story, there's this.
When he was arrested for Kayla's murder, he laughed and smirked. For me, this is not a political issue. This is a safety issue for everyone living in the United States. This could have been anyone's daughter. Kayla wasn't doing anything wrong, and she didn't deserve to be murdered. I don't want any other parent to live the nightmare that I am living. I am her voice now, and I am going to fight with everything I have to get her story told and bring awareness of the issue at the border. I will make sure her memory lives on. Murder itself is already taboo, but then you mention MS-13 and nobody wants to touch it. Nothing will change if nobody talks about the problem. The United States government has to secure our border. We need to properly vet all border crossers.
They do need to properly vet them. They're not. And if they had done it with this guy, they would have immediately found that he was connected to MS-13, the very ones we certainly don't want in this country. Are there illegals that are coming into the country that they just want a better life for themselves in their country? Yes. Are there others coming in that are already hardened gang members and they're coming to take what you have, your life, your children's lives, and maybe torture and rape at the same time? They're not being vetted. The Biden administration, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas said, well, we're doing a good job down there. You are lying to the American public, and people are dying, and a young girl raped and murdered because you did not do your J-O-B. And the mother says the same thing I am in a heartbreaking statement.
The government could have placed a phone call to authorities in El Salvador and found out that he was a gang member, but they didn't. If we had stricter border policies, my daughter would still be alive today. Nothing will bring my daughter back, nor the pain, nor fix the pain. I'm not having her here, but I want to prevent this from happening to someone else's child. This is about protecting everyone here in the United States.
Protecting everyone in the United States. Again, I don't want you to have the opinion that every illegal is hell-bent on crime and rape. But they've already broken one law by coming across our border illegally, although with the Biden administration's blessings now, so I don't know if it's, quote, truly illegal in their mind, which is, it is, but they want to ignore it. They are backing out of their oath to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. If they had made half an effort, that guy never would have gotten in. Would someone else have gotten in and done the same thing? Certainly possible. There are numerous cases like that. If not this guy, maybe another guy would have done it. But all we know for sure is Caleb would not have been killed by that man and might still be alive. I've got a guest coming up, and I want to discuss specific vetting or not vetting at the border. You want a beautiful lawn, but if you live by my motto, I don't do projects. So call the experts, Allen Outdoor Solutions, lawn maintenance, landscaping, lighting, irrigation. Recent storms might have created some drainage issues. That's not good for your home. Get immediate help or a quote. Call my friend, Steve Allen, 314-647-4800, 647-4800, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com. If you're even thinking about buying a home, you need to contact Homestead Financial Mortgage. Get pre-approved. Jump ahead of others looking at the same house. Often you can close in as little as 15 days. Homestead Financial Mortgage can guide you and your realtor through the maze that slows down the process. Go to my website, easy to remember, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. My first name, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Keep back production.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My guest, and I've told you we're going to deal with the story you heard from the angel mom, Nobles, talking about the death of her daughter, Kayla, and the lack of vetting for the MS-16-13 guy that got into the country. My guest is Simon Hankinson. He's senior research with the Border Security and Immigration Center of the Heritage Foundation. Simon, welcome aboard.
I'm glad to be with you.
I know you're aware of this testimony given the other day by the mother of Kayla as she was telling members of Congress that her 20-year-old was killed by this guy that came across and it could have been easily stopped if they'd just taken time to vet him. Correct?
Well,
go ahead.
I was waiting for you to finish the question.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I was going to say, it isn't really a question of time anymore because they don't have the means to vet these people. That's the problem. If they really want to, if they know someone's bad or they suspect that they're bad, they can call their equivalents over in the National Police or the FBI or the CIA equivalent of whatever country the person comes from and they can eventually find out if they have a record. But they can't do this for 2 million people that are coming in.
That's and a lot of because they're overrun. That's what you're saying. They could, but they can't possibly handle the numbers.
They can't handle the numbers. I've worked in countries where they don't have digital records. They just have paper files. And even if they do have digital records, they have to have a sharing agreement with us so that when you run your fingerprints, like if you run your fingerprints through the NCRRI database and you've done something in Florida and run the fingerprints in Missouri, you're going to find the Florida hit. But if you run the fingerprints at the border of someone who committed a crime in Venezuela or Colombia or Yemen or some other country, you're not going to get anything. So they're letting in an enormous number of young men in particular, some of whom come from countries where there's high crime rates, and some of whom are leaving because of either crimes that they've committed or crimes that have happened to them or gang affiliation or whatever. And we just have no way of knowing. So this is just a risk that every single day they are foisting on ordinary Americans in cities and towns across the country.
I understand what you're saying about the lack of information. And for the audience, Simon has, from 99 to 2023, was a Foreign Service officer serving in India, Fiji, Togo, and, of course, D.C., Marseille, Nairobi. I mean, you've been all over, so you know what you're speaking as to what's available and what's not. Then you get into countries that, such as Afghanistan and the folks we brought over, trying to vet them when some of the cities and any records that might have existed or other family members have been wiped out. So where would you start? But still, damn it, you got to know who you're letting into the country.
You really do. I mean, I think that there are so many things wrong with what's happening at the border with this parolapalooza, these so-called lawful pathways where they're letting in, you know, hundreds of thousands of people a month. But one really serious problem is that we don't know who they are. I've been down to the border twice now, Texas once, Arizona. I went out and I just walked along the side of the wall where there are gaps. And you just see passports, you see identity cards, you see documents thrown away. Because when people come across, if they've already claimed asylum in another country, they don't want us to know that because then they wouldn't qualify here.
Right.
If they have an identity that they want to hide because they have some history they want to hide, they throw their passport and their documents away. So, you know, I found one from Cuba. I found tons of documents from places like Peru, obviously lots of Mexican documents. And we're letting people, you know, start all over again, giving them a clean slate in a way that we would never do if they were American citizens.
Well, the other thing, just a slight deviation from the vetting issue. I've heard reports that, and I'd like to know if you can verify it, that some illegals are able to get on planes, jet planes, and take a trip, just showing they have a pass from, not a pass, but acknowledgement from the Border Patrol that they have been processed as an illegal, and that's their identity, whatever's written on there. We don't even know if that's their name to begin with.
And that's an absolute fact. I can confirm it. I was actually at the airport in San Antonio, and I saw people with these documents. It's essentially an arrest warrant. It's a piece of paper that says that they were arrested at the border. They gave an identity. Now, maybe it was their legitimate name and date of birth, and maybe it wasn't. And then they were released. And this arrest warrant, this is what should really anger Americans who have to wait in these long lines to take their shoes and their belts off and get strip searched, who have to have so-called real ID, where you have to, you know, give them three different pieces of ID. And these people who are not American citizens, they have no legal right to be here other than the Biden administration say so. That's all they have, this little piece of paper. That gets them on a plane. So, you know, we have the American citizens and the legal residents held to one extremely high standard before they get on a plane, and we have illegal immigrants held to no standard at all. And it's just not right.
Well, the other thing that exists, there have been reports and video of numerous single Chinese military-age males crossing the border, sometimes in view, sometimes in the dead of night, but caught by a camera or something of that nature. Those that are getting across the so-called getaways, we really have no knowledge of those.
We have zero knowledge of the getaways, but even the ones who actually are arrested at the border, even though they're let go, I believe there were over 3,000 Chinese last month alone, the month of April.
3,000.
3,000. And you remember, I'm old enough to remember, you probably are too, 1993, I think it was, the Golden Venture. It was a ship where there were At that time, Chinese were smuggling themselves in shipping containers for $40,000 a pop, and
right.
occasionally there'd be these tragedies where people would die. But that was about, it was under 300 people, like 250 people. It was national news. They were all detained. I think eventually they were, the Clinton administration released them, but it was a big story because it was a smuggling operation of 350 people. And now just in 1 month, we're taking 3,000 people from just China alone. So forget about, you know,
And what vetting of them? I mean, other than looking Chinese, do we know they're China? I mean, and do we know they're seeking asylum or they're coming to infiltrate?
Well, of course, they're saying that they're seeking asylum, and many of them, who knows, maybe they have a case because China is a repressive communist dictatorship. But on the other hand, if I were the Chinese government and I wanted to infiltrate a few spies into the United States, I would certainly slip in a couple among those 3,000. They get let loose. They go wherever they want to go. And, you know, report back to Beijing.
You know, I pointed out numerous times to the audience, and you certainly have the most, the latest stats. If I'm right, there have been at least 150 different nationalities found at the border coming across. And from China, Middle East, they didn't simply fly on a plane into some of those countries. Sometimes they did. But bottom line is, they're all coming because the word is out. If you can get to the southern border of the U.S., you can walk in, sometimes just be processed through, smiling and everything, or you can sneak over the middle of the night. And once they're inside this country, we have no idea what hell awaits us.
We have almost, I mean, I just wrote a report on this thing called Alternatives to Detention. So this is like when they've given up on trying to detain people as they should under the law. They give about 3% of them GPS bracelets, which they generally just take off and give up after a year or so. And then the rest of them, they say, hey, check in when you can on this using this phone app. I mean, look, if you're a good guy and you're trying to obey the law, even if you're claiming asylum, you're maybe going to do it. But if you're a bad guy and you just want to disappear, you're not going to bother past the first time. So we're taking an awful lot on trust from people who, generally speaking, have no reason to give us the benefit of the doubt.
And we've already been warned about the MS-13 trying to get members to come across one way or the other. The man whose DNA matches what was found at the scene of Kayla's murder, MS-13 member, it was documented if anyone had the time or made the effort. And I'm going to accept that, yeah, they're being flooded with so many, they can't properly do it. But there in itself should be a stop right here, because we've got to go through full official processing and vetting, and we're not even attempting now.
We're really, look, I don't blame, I was a government worker for 23 years. I've worked with ICE, worked with DHS, and pretty much every federal agency. Most of those guys, I would say almost all of them, are hardworking professionals that are trying to do their job, the Border Patrol, the Customs Border Protection. But they're being led. It's like Winston Churchill said about World War One: it's lions led by donkeys. The people who are running the administration's immigration approach don't care about enforcement, and they don't care about borders, and they don't care about immigration law. So these guys on the border simply don't have the authority, and they're not being told to do their jobs and properly vet and detain people until we know who they are.
We've seen Governor Abbott put up a razor wire and have a National Guard and even local police and highway patrol standing along some of the border crossings so where folks can get at least on the dry land. They don't die in the river, but they'll just swim on down if they can until they find a spot where they can get across. I mean, and in fact, the state of Texas is trying to build its own wall. That still isn't going to be a final answer.
Look, the federal government has responsibility for the national defense under the Constitution. It cannot be the state's responsibility. But the federal government has to step up and actually do its job. They're supposed to defend the country against all enemies and against drugs and criminals and just plain old illegal immigrants coming into the country. We have laws. We have rules. We accept 1 million immigrants a year. 125,000 refugees, if we were actually using that program, which we're not. Any country that has zero border control and zero control over its territorial integrity, historically speaking, does not last very long.
Yeah, they don't have a border. They don't have a nation. Now, yet you have the mother of 20-year-old Kayla saying, we must make sure immigrants are properly vetted. And Biden is blaming the GOP, and I guess he would even blame this mother for, you're trying to score political points. Thought I lost you there. You're trying to score political points on your daughter's death. He didn't say that, but that's the that is basically the inference.
I don't understand how they can look these mothers and these families of victims' families in the eye and say that they're doing their job. That's the administration's line the whole time. They always say it's Congress's fault that we have an open border. What they mean by that is we want unlimited immigration, or we want an amnesty, or we want, you know, significantly higher numbers of whatever category, and Congress won't pass a law that gives us what we want. Therefore, it's Congress's fault, and we're just going to open the borders. That's not, you know, that's like kicking your ball and going home. Congress made up of 535 people with competing interests and two parties that don't always get along. And if they pass a law on immigration that makes everybody happy, it will be a cold day in hell. It's always going to be a compromise.
Always going to be. And I've said repeatedly, if they're really serious, they should invite the illegals to live in their houses. But they don't do that. Simon, I want to thank you. Thank you very much for your time. Simon Hankson with the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, the budget battle. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have some advice for you. Before you have anyone replace windows in your home, call Renewal by Anderson. Get information. Renewal finds where you're losing energy, driving up cost in summer and winter. It's easy to connect to Renewal by Anderson. Dial #250, #250, and say windows. That connects you direct to Renewal on the list of the most trusted companies, the nation's best warranty. Dial #250, #250, and say windows.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns were setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's...
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I am optimistic because, I mean, remember, Speaker McCarthy said, clear back on January 12th, hey, Joe Biden, sit down and negotiate with me. And President Biden said, no, 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 just keep giving me more money. Even though we've had record spending, record inflation, record debt, just give me more money, no strings. That's not how it works. And the country understands that. So the position we've taken is the reasonable Republican position, the common sense position. The Democrats have taken the default position, frankly. So I do think we're going to get a lot here. And really what we're saying, if we get this, Stuart, what Speaker McCarthy and Republicans want is let's spend less this year than we spent last year. Sure. That has never happened. That has never, in my time in Congress, that has not happened. So this would be huge if we can get that, plus some good work requirements that'll help our economy and frankly help people who are trapped in our welfare system. I think those are good things that we're pushing for. And most importantly, the American people think they're common sense.
Common sense, but that seems to elude many on the left when it comes to budgets. And yet, for those who haven't, those on the left, and some exist on the right, make sure we balance that out. But on the left, there are more grifters, I'd say, and they're certainly, if they made theirs, they'll do what they can to keep you from making yours, and they'll tax you if they can, tax you harder. Oh, they will yell and shout about tax the millionaires. That would mean talking about Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer, and places like that. They don't really mean tax themselves more. If they really do believe that, they can always sit down and write a bigger check to the government. It will take it. Do you see them doing that? No. I made that point regarding Warren Buffett when he made the analogy during the Obama administration that way we currently are taxing everybody. He said, I really pay less taxes than my secretary does. Not in dollar amount, but per percent. And I said, Warren, if you really believe that, then write a check and send it to the IRS. They will take it. They will mouth these words and mouth common sense, and we know what's best for America, but they don't. And what the Democrats continue to want is a clean budget bill. There's nothing new today. I've been scanning to see if there are any new talks. They had talks a couple of days ago, and then yesterday we were told basically the White House negotiating team has left the building looking for Elvis, maybe. I have no idea what the hell they're doing because they're not doing any J-O-B dealing with the deficit. And they want to continue to have a clean bill, which means we're going to continue to spend more and more and more, and we're not going to cut a single dime of current government spending. That means for you, if you had a credit card, you maxed it out, you can simply ask for another one. They'll give it to you. No big deal. Max that one out. We'll give you another one. You can't do that, right? You know you can't do that. So once again, here's Congressman Jordan on that point.
I don't think they're going to get any tax increases. The Speaker and Republicans, we are clear. We're not raising Americans' taxes. For goodness sake, they've already been hit with the worst tax ever under Joe Biden, the inflation tax. So what, the Democrats want to tax them more and make it worse? And look, I think Speaker McCarthy has handled this well. And I would just say this. Who do you think is going to get a better deal for the American people? Joe Biden, who has screwed up everything he's touched. Border, inflation, energy policy, crime, you name it. Foreign policy. Or Speaker McCarthy, who went 15 rounds and emerged as the Speaker of the House. I actually think Speaker McCarthy in these negotiations and Republicans are going to get something that makes sense for the American people.
Makes sense? That's what we want, something that makes sense. And yeah, if you're on the government teat, I think you should be doing something for the government.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Ready for a fine dinner of lobster, crab, fish? Napoli Sea will open June 1 on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. So mark your calendar. Napoli Sea opens June 1. If you're in the mood for pasta, Napoli 3 is right next door, and it's open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and starting June the 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Regarding the hostility toward African Americans in Florida, do you feel hostility?
No. Again, this is so dumb. I don't even know what we're talking about, man. The only hostility I feel is this inflation hitting my pocketbook. I'll tell you that. Because that inflation hitting everybody, that is hostile. You know, when the price of food is up, when the price of gas, which is still up, and the fact that fentanyl is coming into every community in our country because of Joe Biden, maybe the NAACP should be focused on that.
And, of course, there you have Florida Congressman Byron Donald saying, I'm not concerned about this latest NAACP warning that says, don't travel to Florida. And the guy that issued it, the NAACP chairman in Florida that does it, he lives in Florida. He bought a house in Florida. And now he's telling others not to? Well, since all of this hit the fan, now they're kind of backing up. They're saying, no. I want to make sure you understand. We're not saying don't come. We want you to come. We're not saying don't spend your money here. We're saying if you're coming, come to an entertainment center or somewhere that supports diversity, equity, and inclusion. Go to companies to support all groups of people. Those going into Florida often are going for J-O-B-S, and they're probably going to find one. But the hypocrisy of telling at that time until it got corrected, Florida's a dangerous place for black people. Don't come. Well, you heard Congressman Donald say, of course it's not. It's no more dangerous for them than it is for a person of any other color if you get in the wrong area, period. And for many of those who live in those areas, they might be minority, and they live in fear on a constant daily basis. I remind you, we do have a second hour of Rumble. If you want to hear it, you can go direct to our Rumble, watch us live coming up. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.